Good morning, and welcome to those of you in the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. I want us to look at the whole story of the Bible. Sometimes we hear stories from different places in the Scriptures, and it's kind of hard to fit them in as to exactly where they belong. And I hope that by looking at the Bible story as a whole, that we'll be able to better do that. We know in Genesis 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We know that the earth was without form and void, but we know that God was there. God in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eternity was there because of these three beings, because they are God. They've always existed, and they will exist forever. And though they're distinct beings, they are one in purpose, they are one in righteousness. At some point, we don't know when or why, lesser heavenly beings were created. The Bible tells us of angels in Revelation 5, seraphims in Isaiah 6, of cherubim in Genesis 3, and other heavenly creatures are mentioned in Revelation 4. At some point, some of these heavenly beings sinned. We read about this in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. We know nothing more than this. We know that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us." So then we see that in the beginning, God spoke the universe into existence, and he began to place life on earth. He created the sun and the moon. He created light in general. Then came plant life, then the fish, then the fowls, and the land animals. Finally, God created man in his image. God had a purpose that there might be an earthly being that could understand and share a relationship with him. In fact, notice the language there in Genesis 1 and verse 26. "Let us make man in our image." Man can reason. Man has an eternal soul. That is the essence of the spiritual that sets him apart from all of the other things that God created. God placed Adam and Eve in the most beautiful setting that we could possibly imagine. They lacked for nothing. They enjoyed the companionship with God. And God wanted man to worship him out of choice. God gave them a commandment, and that commandment was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Food existed in abundance. Hunger wasn't an issue. The garden was so big that mention is made of four rivers that ran through it. So there was no need for temptation to be constantly before their eyes. The escape was certainly provided. But the serpent deceived Eve. She ate the forbidden fruit and gave to Adam that also ate, thus violating God's commandment. Because of their sin, God pronounced curses upon each of the guilty parties, the serpent, the woman, and the man. And then he banned the man and the woman from the garden. Their sin, we see, drove them from the garden. God prepared for man's fall, however, before creation, by planning how that he might be saved. We read about this in Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. As Adam and Eve gave up the great blessings that God had provided for them, God began to unfold his plan of how man could be reconciled to him if he accepted God's terms. Even with the first curse, God gave the glimmer of hope for a day when the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent in Genesis 3 and verse 15. Even though evil triumphed initially, man would eventually triumph through the one that God would send to complete his plan. From this first promise of a Savior in Genesis 3 and verse 15, God has never wavered in the unfolding of His plan. The Bible tells us of only a few who have lived, because those are the ones through whom He carried out His plan. During the early times, man often lived for 900 years or more. We know that Adam had many sons and daughters. Perhaps we're most familiar with Cain and Abel because of the story that we have of them in Genesis 4. But Adam had another son, Seth, about whom we know very little, except that it is through his family that the story of redemption continues to unfold. Almost as many years passed during the first few chapters of Genesis as in all of the rest of the Bible. As men spread over the earth, they chose a life of wickedness. God describes their thoughts as evil continually in Genesis 6 and verse 5. God decided to destroy man because of his evil ways. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives were spared from the great flood, but all of the rest of mankind was destroyed. Now we're back to one family. There are three sons, but God guided the writers of the Bible to follow Shem's descendants, touching only briefly on Noah's other two sons. Many peoples came through Shem, but the divine record narrows the story still more, as man's life span now begins to shorten. There have been some nine generations that have passed from the time of Noah before we are introduced to the next great character in the unfolding of God's plan, and that was Abram. God called Abram, who of course will later be called Abraham, and told him to leave his family and go to a land he'd be shown. Abraham obeyed and was led to Canaan. God made Abraham a promise with three parts. In Genesis 12, we read these in verses 1 through 7. He promised him that his descendants would become a great nation. He promised that that great nation would inherit the land of Canaan. And the third promise was that through Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so the rest of the Bible is the story of the fulfilling of those three promises. At this point, God has unfolded only a small part of his plan for man's redemption. We know that one will come who will triumph over Satan, Genesis 3:15. We know that this one will come from the descendants of Abraham, Genesis 12 and verse 3. And we know that all nations will be blessed by his coming, Genesis 12 and verse 3. After many years, Abraham's wife was still barren. She could not have children. Abraham decided to help God by having a son through his handmaiden. Ishmael was born and plays a role in history of God's people, but he is not the promised descendant. The descendant of promise was to be Isaac, who was born to Abraham and Sarah when Abraham was 100 years old. After Abraham died at the age of 175, God repeated those three promises to Isaac in Genesis 26, verses 2, 3, and 4. So God's plan continues to unfold as God intended. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Before their birth, God said that Jacob would be the greater, even though Esau was born first. Esau foolishly gave up his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Esau's descendant became the nation of Edom, but it was to Jacob that the promises of God were repeated. Once again, God demonstrates his complete control every step of the way. Jacob had 12 sons who all played significant roles in the unfolding of God's plan. We're told the most about Joseph, the next to the youngest son. Jacob loved Joseph best and showed partiality. This caused his brothers to be jealous, and eventually they sold Joseph as a slave into Egypt. We're given great detail, in fact, 14 chapters about the struggles and the great faith of Joseph. And finally, it is revealed that all of this was part of God's plan to preserve the descendants of Jacob as a part of his promise to Abraham. When they came to Egypt, they were some 70 people in Jacob's family, and that's still far short of something to be called a great nation. As Jacob was about to die, he gave each one of his sons a blessing. These sons would form the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. To Judah, his fourth son, he gave to him a special prophecy. The scepter, that is, the sign of rulership, would not depart from Judah's family until Shiloh, the special one, should come. This we find in Genesis 49 and verse 10. One more part of God's plan has now been revealed. The one through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed would come through the lineage of Judah. The book of Genesis closes with Joseph's assurance that God would lead his people back to Canaan, and so the plan continues. Time passes by. Has God forgotten? Will he keep his promises? As the book of Exodus begins, there are some 3 million people called Israelites. The Pharaoh that was arisen does not know Joseph, nor his God, Jehovah. In fear of this great number of Israelites, Pharaoh made them slaves, but still they multiplied faster. So he ordered the death of all of the male babies to destroy future soldiers. Moses is born at this time. And through God's providence, he's protected and raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he was a Hebrew. God continues to show us his complete control of all things. At age 40, Moses decided the cruelty of his people must stop, but God was not ready. Moses was forced to flee Egypt, spending the next 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. Then God appeared to Moses from a burning bush and told him to go back to Egypt to rescue the Israelites. God's mighty works are about to be shown for all of the world to see. When Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites leave, God showed his might over the most powerful nation of the day. God sent 10 plagues, beginning with the turning of the water of the river Nile to blood, and ended the plagues with the death of all of the firstborn in Egypt. After all of this, Egypt was begging the Israelites to leave. Now God's power would be shown as he protected and provided for Israel on their journey. Their indirect route to Canaan took them first to Mount Sinai, where God made a covenant with them. He would be their God, and they would be his people if they obeyed his commandments. They agreed, and God's law told them specifically how they were to live as his chosen people. God's blessings abounded. He fed them when they were hungry. He gave them water when they were thirsty. He fought their enemies and shielded them from all harm. And yet, in spite of all of this, the people did not keep their side of the covenant. Soon they began to disobey God by making and worshiping a golden calf. They continually murmured and complained as they neared the land of Canaan. We see that our time is up. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.